Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Julia Fellow.
Monday edition of Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ. Greg in for John, Julia in for Julia.
Yep.
Sam Butson producing the program, and Debbie's got our ride home. So a few big things happened over the weekend. And I must admit, just... Yeah, the rhythms of the weekend sort of took me away from the NFL draft. But one of the things that I enjoy about the NFL draft, number one, just sort of seeing what kind of spectacle it is and now translating that in my mind to what's going to be in Green Bay next year. It's going to be crazy. I mean, it was on four networks. You couldn't get away from it. And, I mean, it looked like a three-day rock concert. There's so many people who make the draft a thing, and all those people who do will likely be looking at Green Bay next year, which I think is great. Now, the other interesting thing is to find the stories behind the stories. So the Packers selected 11 players over the weekend. And you start to dig in deeper on who these players are. And it's very easy to look and say, well, this guy's an offensive lineman. He played at Arizona. This guy was a safety. He played at Georgia. Oh, that's fine. You can read the same thing me. But here's the curious story of Jacob Monk. He was selected in the fifth round out of Duke University. He's an offensive lineman. We spoke with Jason Wilde earlier today on Wisconsin's Midday News because he likes to hunt for these interesting stories as well. Listen to the book on Monk, a very talented player with a very peculiar allergy.
My guy is Jacob Monk, who is the offensive lineman from Duke. Now, the big story that came out about him, which I don't know if you guys caught it because I know you had a lot going on this weekend, but he's allergic to cold water. Before his first college game at Duke, they were playing at Alabama, and after practice one day he got in the cold tub and he had an allergic reaction to the cold water and broke out in hives, and he could never use a cold tub again. And so we, of course, you know, Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated was the one that first unearthed that tidbit, and he asked Jacob about it in our conference call with him. And Jacob, you know, said, "Yeah, that's what. Yeah, here's what happened." And it's like, I'm allergic to cold water. And look, he's a really interesting guy. Beyond that, his family's really interesting. He's got an older brother who has Down syndrome and autism, and he's really been this inspiration to Jacob. So I find that more interesting. But this is really quirky. And so the question we all had is, "Oh, wait a minute now, you got picked by the Packers." Like, can you play in snow, or are you going to break out in hives?
Oh,
like, these are things that are really, you know, this is the kind of hard-hitting journalism that I perform in situations like this. And he said he can play in snow, he can play in cold weather. It's just the idea of, you know, immersing himself. So I don't know if he goes swimming, he has to make sure that it's a certain temperature. But that was the big talk about Jacob Monk, is that he's allergic to cold water. And, of course, John Eric Sullivan, who's kind of Brian Gutekunst's number two man, the vice president of player personnel, said, "I think we know about it. We're not concerned about it. We just can't let him go ice fishing."
Allergic to cold water. So sure enough, Julia, I went to the old internet because nothing isn't true on the internet.
I just did too. Did you look at the National Organization for Rare Disorders?
Yes, it's called cold urticaria.
Urticaria.
All right, I've never seen the word, but it is an abnormal reaction to cold, which may, for instance, occur after exposure to cold weather or swimming in a cold pool, where the skin turns red and it develops welts and itching. I'm guessing this is along the lines of what one of the newest members of the Packers has been through.
It's
wild.
It says accompanied by anxiety. So maybe he's just so worked up that he was cold.
Now,
you better be ready for the frozen tundra, man.
Now, I have been in a cold tub myself, and I didn't have an allergic reaction, but I wanted to be out after about 4 seconds. Like, that is not a fun trip to hop into the cold pool. It has great health benefits, and I understand why athletes do it. That's just not for me. And apparently, it's not for Monk either.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, from dipping into the cold to smelling some really smelly flowers. We'll talk about that coming up. All right, so if you text WATCH to our talk and text line, 855-616-1620, you will see the look on visitors' faces who got a whiff of the voodoo lily that is in bloom right now at the Mitchell Park Domes. It's a cousin of the corpse flower, horticulturalist Amanda Garko shares what it smells like. Take a listen.
It smells like rotting flesh, basically. It smells like a dead animal. And the reason it smells that way is to attract its pollinator, which are carrion flies. It has little tiny flowers within the bloom, and those flies will come in and pollinate. They're just attracted to that rotting flesh kind of smell. So it's pretty gross, but it's definitely interesting.
You want to smell it, Greg?
Well, why do we do this? I don't get it. Like, I the domes, I understand, like, they need people. I got married at the domes. I would love to see the domes live on in existence. But I feel like they're now hunting for these bizarre, and it fits. It fits with what they do. But hunting for these really bizarre species of plants and flowers that people can come smell, and they smell awful. Like that's a draw somehow.
Okay, so take a listen to this. This is why she goes wild over these flowers. Take a listen.
You know, you see kind of the typical roses and daisies and, you know, violas and stuff like that around Wisconsin all the time. But to see something like this, especially in the Milwaukee area, is just, it's really, really unique. It's a really cool experience.
Okay, so the smell to make you feel better, Greg, went away yesterday. So now you can still see it on display. It is bloomed. You know, the corpse flower, its cousin, blooms once every 7 years. This one, once a year. And if you're trying to attract flies, what are you going to smell like, Greg? Daisies?
I guess, right? I mean, so it's like a scratch and sniff snicker, a sticker. Just after time, the more you scratch it, it kind of goes away.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question.
That does happen, yeah.
Just hold on to your nose. It's 520 on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. We're so happy you're with us. There's something called Becca's Closet. It's really special. It helps a lot of young ladies who want to go to prom be able to afford a dress. They get one for free. It's so nice. The average price right now, it's about $350 to $500 and going up. We have Becca's Closet, Kathy Pohl, co-coordinator. Her other co-coordinator is Cindy. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yes. How is it going? It's underway right now. Where are you? Tell me everything.
Well, I'm sitting at the front door of our high school here in Beloit, and we have to let people in because, of course, the doors are locked after a certain time. We actually just closed our closet a little early because we were kind of slow tonight. We had a couple girls come through, but they got dresses.
That's
so that
so
was
nice.
Awesome.
What was it? What's it like when you're able to, you know, pass along a gently used dress to a young girl who's going to, you know, make life a memory that she'll never forget?
Well, this will probably sound kind of silly, but it's magical. It really just is for the girls. Some of the girls are looking for dresses to fit a certain theme for their prom. You know, it might be the Roaring Twenties, or it might be the red carpet, and they're looking for special dresses that fit those themes. And when we find them for them, it's just like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. And again, girls that can't afford to buy $300, $400, $500 dresses get beautiful dresses here for free. It doesn't cost a penny.
So where did this all start, and how did it get to Wisconsin?
Oh, well, actually, Becca's Closet is a national organization. And we are just one of many chapters in the United States. It was founded by parents whose daughter was killed in a car accident. When she was a freshman in high school, and her name was Rebecca Kurtman, she had a prom dress drive at her high school. And then she was killed in an auto accident in 2003 at the age of 16. And so her family and friends continued her mission by forming a national Becca's Closet program in her honor.
Wow, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's why it's Rebecca's Closet, because her name was Rebecca.
So if someone wants to help out and help with your next drive, how do we donate? How do we get our dresses to you? I have like five.
Oh, well, we have many means of getting them. You can bring them to the high school here in Beloit. You can mail them to the high school in Beloit. And I have met people maybe like halfway, depending on where they live. If you live in Milwaukee, I drive halfway, the person drives halfway, and we make an exchange in the parking lot of McDonald's or something like that. So there's lots of different ways, and we work really hard to be able to make it easy for the people that are donating their dresses to us.
Kathy and Cole, I really appreciate your time with Becca's Closet. And you also have a Facebook page that we will put online, and also you can go to beccascloset.org. Click on Wisconsin, and you can go straight to getting a hold of Kathy Pohl or her co-coordinator, Cindy. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Of course.
I look forward to maybe meeting you halfway.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. 5:28 on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. We'll be right back. Here we are with meteorologist Brian Isnansky. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
how you doing?
Good. We were just talking about the voodoo lilies in bloom, and they smell like rotting meat.
Yeah. Ugh. Does that appease you in any way?
Where are those at?
It's
the Botanical
at the
Gardens
domes.
Or something? Oh, the domes. Ugh. Yeah, no thanks. I'll stick with my tulips.
Greg is a no-go with that. He doesn't understand
it. Yeah, I don't get why we do this, right? And you get like a line wrapped out the windows or on the door for, you know, I don't know, about an hour to get in to see this flower, and it reeks. People spend
is
money
like
to do
the same thing as like the corpse flower or
yeah,
something like that? Because I know they have that too.
Mm-hmm. It's a cousin of the corpse flower, and it's trying to attract flies. So what do you think flies are attracted to?
Stench.
Stench. But right now it's not stenching anymore. Gosh. It's still in bloom. Anyways.
It'd make it even worse. Yeah. Could you imagine like you go in there and see it, there's just like a bunch of maggots crawling on it or something? Like,
right?
Ew!
Ugh.
It has to. To pollinate, right? It's doing its work. It's doing God's work. So are you, Brian. How's the weather?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Weather's fine. We got some scattered showers. I'll be honest with you. I'm moving slow. We were out in Vegas over the weekend for Julie's 40th. Just got back last night.
Tell her happy birthday.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, no, we had a really good time. But yeah, back at it today. Glad anything heavier held off. We just had a couple scattered light showers this afternoon, but those are already starting to clear out of here.
Where did you guys stay?
We were at the Venetian. Venetian was cool. Enormous place. Like, if you don't like big resorts, like, stay away from the Venetian. That's a giant property.
Did you take her on the gondola at all?
We didn't do that. She kind of hinted that she wanted to a couple times, and it just never happened. We had plenty of other, you know, fun activities. I hope she doesn't get mad at me, like, sharing this. But, like, she wanted to live, like young again. You know, that's kind of the whole thing with 40. So we did one of those, like, really, like, raging beach club, like, day club
yeah!
party scenes.
Yes!
Like, Cabana. It ended up being, like, literally the guy was like, this is the worst day we've had so far this year weather-wise. It rained all day. It was, like, 50s and rainy. And but we made the most of it. It was a lot of fun, and we ended up laughing about the situation, and it was still a good time.
Oh, I thought you were going to see, like, Carmen Electra or Snooki or something, like, hosting out there.
No, but there was a dude, the guy who we had by our cabana. He was like, all right, there's going to be a high roller showing up.
He's
not anybody famous. He's like, there's going to be a big spender showing up. I said, well, how are we going to know who's the big spender? He goes, oh, you'll know. So dude had three times a caravan of three bottles of Dom Perignon sent to his cabana. They were $2,700 a piece. He had 30 of them.
That seems excessive, Brian.
I mean, what do you think so?
Did you say, hey, can I borrow one, bro?
I was wondering why I didn't get a sip. I'm over here with my Coors Light, you know, get the champagne of beers with the High Life. And I couldn't get a sip. It was unfortunate. But yeah, that I definitely knew who the high roller was.
Wow. I mean, Julie couldn't get in there and say, hey, it's my 40th birthday. I love it. All right,
I probably didn't want her going over there.
Yeah, he'd steal her away.
Well, you would have had a bottle of Dom, if nothing else.
That's true.
All right, Brian. Tell us the rest of the weather.
All right, sounds good, guys. Yeah, so for tonight, we're looking at decreasing clouds tonight. Actually turning out to be a quiet evening. 46 degrees for a low. Tuesday, mostly sunny. High of 68 degrees. Inland gets into the lower 70s, and then we get a lake breeze near the lake in the afternoon. Chance of storms Tuesday night. We're going to watch most of the stuff, though, kind of fizzle out to the west of us. Slight chance of showers Wednesday, 72. Thursday, showers more likely, 65. And then some showers and storms likely early on Friday with a high of 70 degrees. Multiple chances of rain, but these are not all-day rain events, guys.
Well, yeah, Vegas will, bring you back to down to earth really quick, Brian. You don't sound like you have a combination of a concussion and mono, so well done.
Yeah, I'm alive, that's for sure.
You did
a little
it.
Fuzzy, but alive.
Hey,
thanks, guys.
All good. 541 on WTMJ.
A huge collaboration by the Associated Press, Frontline PBS, which will air this as a documentary about this project tomorrow at 9 p.m. and the Howard Centers for Investigative Journalism. They found dozens of deaths which reveal the risks of injecting sedatives into people who are being restrained by police. One of those investigative journalists is Ryan J. Foley, who joins us by phone. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First off, thank you. What are these drugs people are injected with?
Yeah, there's a range of drugs that paramedics use to sedate people during these incidents. And two of the most common we found are a drug called midazolam, which is perhaps better known by its brand name, Versed, and then another drug called ketamine, which was used in the two cases that we looked at in Wisconsin.
It led to about 94 deaths that were highlighted in your report. And as you said, two of them took place in Wisconsin. I saw that you actually led your report with Demetrio Jackson's case out of Eau Claire. Can you share what happened in that case?
Yeah, Demetrio Jackson's tragic death is an example of what can go wrong in these incidents and how difficult it can be to pinpoint exactly what the cause of death is in these cases. So Demetrio Jackson was a person who struggled with mental health issues, who struggled with drug use, and he had taken some methamphetamine. This happened in October of 2021 in Eau Claire and Altoona, Wisconsin, in the western part of the state. And officers are called to a trespassing incident where he was outside of a radio station standing on a car at about 4 a.m. And eventually the incident escalates because he was on probation, and after they decided to arrest him, he didn't want to be arrested, so he ran. Demetrio Jackson was eventually tased twice. He was restrained face down in what's known as the prone position while officers got him into handcuffs and searched him for a few minutes. And he starts to, complain at that point that he can't breathe, that he's in serious medical distress, which seemed to have started after he was, tased and restrained. Then he's sitting there, and the medics arrive, and he gets injected with 400 milligrams of ketamine as he's sitting there. And then they put him in the ambulance, and on the way to the nearby hospital, that's when he, suffers cardiac arrest. And they were able to revive him, but he was essentially brain dead, and he died 2 weeks later after being in a coma.
Wow. And what was his cause of death?
So his cause of death that cited by the medical examiner in Ramsey County, Minnesota, who did his autopsy, was that he died from complications of the use of methamphetamine. And we had two, outside medical examiners review his death for us. And one of them said that they both agreed that meth wasn't the whole story. They said that the police altercation and particularly the restraint likely played a role in his death. And one of them said that she believes ketamine played a role in his death, while the other said it was is a possible contributing factor.
Why did they give him ketamine? Can the police just say, if you're resisting, they tried a taser, still resisting on the ground, can they just tell someone that comes with an ambulance that they need to inject them with something?
Paramedics have the final call on when to use these medications, but we did find examples where police made suggestions or requests, to paramedics to sedate specific people. In Demetrio Jackson's case, it appears to have been a little more subtle than that. So the officers start to say that they believe Demetrio Jackson had a condition called excited delirium, which is a seriously agitated state that supporters of this idea say it can lead to sudden death without medical intervention, but it's been widely discredited and disavowed by the medical community. So we hear in this case that officers saying they believe that he had fatty delirium. You hear one officer saying to the medics, do you have something to speed this up? And sort of cheering when the medic comes back with the vial of ketamine and saying that he's not going to like it when he gets poked. So in some cases, it seems like the use of these sedatives has become, you know, a matter of convenience for law enforcement because they knock people out and they end the incident, essentially. Now here, Demetrio Jackson wasn't really resisting anymore when he was injected. And we had five experts tell us that he did not meet the criteria for being injected, which is you're supposed to be, you know, an immediate danger to yourself or others if you aren't sort of immediately calmed down. And they said that what they saw in the body cam video that we provided them didn't meet that high bar.
And when you talk about racial disparities, you talk about excited delirium and how that term can play into stereotypes.
That's right. And that's one reason why it's been disavowed by the medical community, that it relied on stereotypes like superhuman strength and people that are loud and resisting the police, and that it's been disproportionately applied to African-American males since it became a concept really back in the 1980s. And we found of the 94 deaths across the country in this scenario that half of them were black.
What ended up happening to Demetrio?
So Demetrio Jackson, he died, and there really hasn't been a lot of justice there or any sort of accountability. What happened was his death was actually initially ruled to be from natural causes, and then they later revised that and said it was an accidental death. The prosecutor in Eau Claire reviewed the findings of a state DOJ investigation and said, I don't even think this is an officer-involved death, so I don't have to review whether the force was appropriate, and therefore he also didn't have to obviously review the actions of the paramedics. So that's really all that's happened, and he's got a family in Indiana that is, you know, upset by the way he was treated and feels like his death was sort of not adequately investigated.
And what did the Eau Claire police say?
They reviewed the actions of their officers. So there was actually three different police agencies that were involved in this response. It started with two Altoona officers, and then three Eau Claire officers came as backup, and there was also the Eau Claire County Sheriff's deputies that were involved. But all three of those agencies, you know, reviewed the actions of their officers who were involved in the use of force and restraint, and they said that, you know, they acted appropriately. And the Eau Claire Fire Department, which administered the sedative, says that they just cannot talk about this because of medical privacy issues.
Now, this is just part one with the Associated Press investigative reporter Ryan J. Foley. Part two will air tomorrow at about this time, where we'll go into another Wisconsin case. A young man named Adam Trammell, he died in an incident involving West Milwaukee police in 2017. We'll tell you about the two drugs that he was injected with, according to this Associated Press report, when he did not cooperate with officers. There was a big settlement in that case we'll get into. We'll also share why cases like these have EMS workers who come on scene now reevaluating their protocols. Again, this airs tomorrow right here on Wisconsin's Afternoon News. If you ever want to get up to date, just text WAN to our talk and text line. It stands for Wisconsin's Afternoon News. Text WAN to 855-616-1620. And you can listen back to all of our segments, just like this one. Part one should be attached right now. So if you go there, boom, it goes right to the site where you can see everything that we talked about today, including Becca's Closet, Dustin Godsky with the Bucks Chief Sales Marketing Officer, the American Lung Association. We talked about the sedation deaths. Stephen Portnoy with ABC talked about the Dems divided on anti-Semitism resolutions that are being brought up in Washington, D.C. And tomorrow, Dr. Ben Weston with the Medical College of Wisconsin is joining us, and he's going to talk about measles. There's a recent case identified in Wisconsin. It's a big deal that's happening. There's a whole bunch of measles cases, so that is something that we're looking into.
554 on WTMJ, honoring those who dedicate their lives and keep us safe. WTMJ highlighting the first responders who went above and beyond this past year. It's all through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, and it's presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. This is great stuff. You can nominate your first responder right now by visiting WTMJ.com. We can also do it through the mobile app. Nomination period is open now through May 10th, so get those nominations in over the next week and a half or so, and finalists will be recognized during Hero Week. That's May 20th through the 24th. We want to tell those stories, and we need you to help us tell those stories. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service. It's presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
All right, it's 5:55. How'd you do this 5-hour marathon?
Yeah, made it through. Made it through. So all good. Brewers baseball game tonight. Back with Wisconsin's Midday News tomorrow. I think Jessica's going to sit in on the afternoon show with
you
tomorrow.
You're back with me on Wednesday, and then I have Mike Spaulding.
So you get the rotating co-host.
I do. I get to spend time with everybody and catch up. I never get to be able to talk to you otherwise.
I know. We're all kind of just sort of grinding and, getting our shows all together. But always a pleasure to sit in on the show and see you and Sam together, which is great.
Yes.
We'll miss
big
John while he's
Sam.
Gone for a week or so, but he'll be back before too long.
His daughter's getting married.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Woo!
That's a big one.